Thank you for joining us on the Entrepreneur Dad podcast, where we talk to entrepreneurs, high-level executives, and overall just people that are working their butt off to make a great living for themselves. In this, what we do is we examine their journey, their ups, their downs, their transitions, and also how to remain great spouses and loving parents while managing a full daily schedule. Thank you so much, and I hope you get tons of value out of your time with us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right. So he asked me to do this, and I was super excited about it. So what we're going to get out of today is we're going to get a lot of practical. So it'll be a lot of notes. I'm a practical guy. So you ever been to church, and you go to church, and the guy speaks for 30 minutes or 45 minutes or sometimes an hour, and then all of a sudden you leave, and you're like, I don't really know what he said. And there's really not a lot you can apply to the next day. So I want to give you something that later on today, tomorrow, the next day, that you can physically apply in your life to make you better. So the networking piece, we'll get to that. I want to give you guys some context about me, not so much to talk about myself, but I need to give you guys some context of where I've come from, where I've been. I've got a lot of things written down just because I don't want to miss anything. So I'm a Birmingham guy. I'm from here, born and raised here. I was born and raised in a city not too far from here called Bessemer. I went to high school at Jess Lanier High School and Hueytown High School. So the other side of the, what we used to call the mountain from where we are right now. So everybody's laughing because you've heard that term. So I grew up here, moved away for about 15 years and then came back. So growing up, I was always into sports. My dad was the head coach at the high school that I went to for 27 years. And so I was a sports guy, knew that's what I wanted to do, love sports, part of our life. Got involved in that. That's really all we did, sports and church. My mom played the organ. Well, I was in church 9 months before I was born because my mom played the organ. She's 70 years old today. She still plays the organ. So, yeah, she's awesome. She's incredible. And so I've done church and I've done sports. That's pretty much the first 22 years of my life. So that was a big, big deal in our life. But growing up, I was always that kid that I saw a shirt yesterday, and the shirt, this little kid was pointing in a shirt and said, "Teacher, go ahead and move me. I'm still going to talk to the person next to me because I talk to everybody." And so that was me, okay? That was me. I was that kid in school. But also, looking back on it, I didn't realize I was like this until you get at the end and you see, I was the kid that was always selling something. I was always trying to make an extra dollar, trying to do something extra. I remember Bubblicious gum. Y'all remember Bubblicious gum? Oh yeah, you do. And so we would go buy that for 25 cents a pack at Sam's, because you'd buy like 20 of them. I would go sell them for a dollar. And then you'd buy these like little, what we call crybabies. Y'all remember those? Put them in your mouth. Why would you do that to yourself? Put those things in your mouth. So I would buy those for a nickel and some for a quarter. Got in trouble one day, got called to the principal's office. I laid my stash, which was my bag of candy, on the desk, got a paddle, got sent out, then put the end of that for a little while. So growing up, I was sports. I like to sell stuff to make a little extra money. I was blessed enough to go play college football, played at UAB, had a wonderful, wonderful career there. The thing about me, though, was as I look back and I realize this, I love to work. I got a great family. My wife's amazing. I got three wonderful kids, but I love to work. And I didn't realize how much I like to work until, again, I get the 50,000 foot view and start looking back. So when you're in college, you're busy. When you're in college and you play sports, you really don't have a lot of time. So I play sports, but if I wasn't practicing or I wasn't lifting or I wasn't playing, I was working. Got a chance. I parked cars in college. So I got to run, do all that kind of stuff, made a ton of money because I worked a lot, but also the money was good. So I made a lot of money there, saved a little money, was good with that. Got out of college, moved to Atlanta. Loved living there. Got to coach high school football, but I got to coach with my father. So not only did I play for my dad, but I got to coach with my dad. So I thought that my whole life's purpose was to coach. And so I did that, loved that. My dream, though, was to coach in college. at this time is when the money really started amping up for college football coaches, because back when I was a kid, the money wasn't crazy. The money's bonkers now. It had started to get bonkers during the time that I was growing up and playing, and so that was my dream. So I coached high school football for 2 years. As I'm getting off the plane from my honeymoon, the first telephone call I got after being in Mexico for 7 days was from a guy in North Carolina. He had a college job. A guy left in the middle of the night. He said, "Do you want this job?" I said, "Absolutely." The next day, we went up there, took a job up there. It was wonderful. So we go up there, we get involved in college football, making absolutely no money because I'm a graduate assistant. I made $14,000 a year. And literally, this is not a over-exaggeration, between 90 and 105 hours a week is what we worked. My boss was from the NFL, and so that's all that they do. And so it was really a little bit overkill. And so again, I was put in a position where I had to work hard. Love that. So when you're in college football, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you get what? Fired. Thank you. I was hoping y'all would know that. So we all got fired just simply because the head coach gets fired, everybody gets fired. Okay? So we had no place to go. So my guy that coached me in college, okay, again, this is just the first point of talking about the networking. The guy that coached me in college took another job. So I get fired. Just so happens the time that he takes another job, guess who calls? The guy that coached me, recruited me for 5 years. "Hey, I've got this job. Do you want it?" Absolutely. So first, I'm 22 or 23 years old. The first part of, really the second part of networking is a guy that coached me. Gave me my first full-time job. The guy that called me as I was getting off the plane from the honeymoon, guess how I knew him? My dad hired him. So your skill and the things that you do are super important. And people say this all the time. It's not fair that Ebony got this job over so-and-so. You know what? Life's not fair. Okay, God puts us in different positions at different times to take advantage of those times, not in a bad way, but in a good way. Because in my opinion, God works all things out for good. Okay, so He puts us in those positions. So He put me in a position in high school to benefit from this guy having this job in North Carolina that gave me my start in college football. He also put me in a position in Birmingham to play for this guy who took a job in Tennessee. So then we moved from Atlanta to North Carolina to Tennessee. Now I'm in Tennessee. Coaching college football, absolutely loved it. Loved my job. Made no money, but absolutely loved my job. So we go there. As I'm doing this, I'm thinking to myself that we're going to start progressing up this ladder. And all the time, I'm constantly trying to meet people because I know in that business, it is not a matter of how much you know about your sport. It's a matter of who you know and who is going to get the next job. Okay? So I was constantly trying to meet people, going to different things, trying to do all that kind of stuff. Honestly, it really didn't work out for me at that time. It really, really didn't, simply because I was there. I stayed there. But I made contacts and made some friends and things like that. But I came to the point after about 6 years of being in there and doing that we start having these things. My wife and I were married, wonderful wife. We start having these things called humans. So how many of y'all have humans? So you know when you have humans that life changes, correct? Okay? Yeah, humans, children. Okay, yeah. Love it. So we started having humans, and at this point we had our first one. I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't a very good dad the first 3 years of my daughter's life, simply because I love my work so much and it required so much of me. Okay? Child number two came along. We went for a season. When I say season, that's why I think of years as in football seasons. And so we went for a season, and it was really, really hard. My wife was a coach. She's a great coach as well. And it was hard. We were spending a ton of money on babysitters, and other people raised my kids. And I realized that I needed to do something else. And here's the thing. At 29, 30 years old, for the first time in my life, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know what? I probably need to go do something else. And I didn't know what that was. I was clueless. I didn't know if I could do anything because all I'd ever done was football. But through football, I created amazing relationships and created a lot of skills. I can talk to people. I can convince people of things I learned that in the recruiting process. I can communicate in front of people. And so I learned those skills in college football that are going to help me later on in life. So I went to my boss and said, "Hey, look, I'm thinking about doing something else. I'm going to work the rest of the year. And let's reevaluate." At the end of the year, I knew it was time to go. I didn't have anything to do. I literally told my boss I was leaving and had no plan. Two kids, zero plan, making about $60,000 a year. So a decent living in a little bitty town in Tennessee. Okay, got a household income of about 80 grand. Took a job making $35,000 a year. So I took a drastic pay cut. But the hard work that I put in college and after college had allowed me to save some money. And so I didn't have to go in debt because I took a job that I knew I needed to be in. So I started working at a church. Honestly, I worked in that. That's where God put me in. And I don't mean to say God because I worked at a church, but God put me in this position because about 3 months after moving into this job, a guy walks into my office and says, "Hey, can you help me figure out what to eat?" So let me backtrack really as short as I possibly can. I don't have a background in nutrition, okay? I've got a background in experience. And so I got involved in nutrition and health when I was really in Tennessee and just experimented a lot with the nutrition aspect of what the body does and physical aspect of that. So he came in and said, "Can you help me?" I said, "Yes." So I made a meal plan for him, a grocery list meal plan, super simple food, easy, no fat diet, just something that he could follow to make his life easier, okay? Because we're all about convenience, we are. That's why we love Amazon, okay? So, and everybody said amen. So I did that for him, and then he told his friend. And then he told his friend. And then he told his friend. So fast forward 5 years later, we've had thousands of clients in 25 different countries do our meal plan. That's just a small portion of what we're doing. Okay? So that's how that grew. So as that grew, I started creating relationships through that. So as that grew, my wife walks in. She walks in the door. It is 10 o'clock one night. And she sticks her hand on my shoulder. And she looks at me and she goes, "Do you realize that you're working coaching hours again?" And I immediately started to argue. And I knew I was wrong. So here I am working 40 hours a week at the church, just like a normal human being, and then also coming home at night and working, trying to build this online quasi nutrition business, whatever. And that's when I made the leap of saying, I felt like I wanted to be self-employed because I love what I was doing. First year we made $8,000, okay? Not a whole lot, but I was also working part-time. And so we go through there. Long, long story, and I could take the whole time telling the story, but I'm not going to do that. We get about 2 years into this thing, and I realized that I needed to step out and do this on my own, simply because of time, but simply because I felt like, and honestly, it sounds crazy, I felt like I was affecting more positive people in this business than I was at working in the church. I would get countless emails a day and a week and a month that say, "Hey, thank you so much for helping me lose this weight," or "Help me, thank you so much." We were doing food for a U.S. Marshal, okay? And here's how I know that I was making an impact. We were doing food for a U.S. Marshal. How many of y'all know what a U.S. Marshal does? You've seen the movie, right? Okay. But let me tell you what a U.S. Marshal does, because at the time, I had no clue. And I said, "Greg, you're a U.S. Marshal, but what do you do?" And he goes on this like 3-minute deal where I do complaints and so-and-so and doing stuff and just, you know, I said, "Greg, what do you do? Like, what's your job?" He stops and there's a pause. And he goes, "My job is to make sure 9/11 doesn't happen again." I'm helping that guy do his job better. I got a feeling that makes us all in the room feel better, that somebody like that is sitting on a plane helping prevent those things happening again. That made a huge difference in me. And so, Meal Fit began. We go through this process. I leave the church. And so in a matter of about 5 years, we go from about first year making about $8,000 to last year, a little right at $1 million. And so in 5 years, we grew this thing. Now, let's get to the nuts and the bolts of what we're here to talk about. How did we go from $8,000 5 years ago to right at $1 million in 5 years? Other people, okay? I've worked really, really hard, but there's two things that have really helped me. Obviously, my faith, okay? The Bible's very, very specific about it is the Lord that helps us produce wealth, okay? It's very, very specific about this passage in Deuteronomy that tells us that, okay? That's number one. So when you start thinking that you are making all this money, you are drastically wrong, okay? That's number one. Number two, other people. There's no way on earth that we could have done what we've done without other people. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about other people. And I want you to, there's some points that I'm going to say, hey, you need to write this down. This is this point. This is this point. So I'm going to be super specific, okay? Here's one of the things I want you to understand. Everybody, okay? Everyone is important, okay? Everyone is important. There's an interview question that someone asks everyone he interviews. Here's the question he asks. He says, who's the guy that empties your trash in your office? Or who's the girl that empties your trash in your office? Okay. Everyone is important. So many times these days we put labels on people as to who they are, what they are, their value. Everyone is important. You never know who is going to be doing something one day that could affect you in a positive way. Okay. And you definitely don't want to, the whole term burn bridges, you definitely don't want to take a bridge and burn it because you were snooty or something to somebody one day. Okay. All right. One of the things too before we get into our points is this. Always understand this. People don't do business with companies. They do business with people. People don't do business with companies. They do business with people. And so you are the face of whatever branch it is that you work in, or you are the face of your company, or you're the face. And so the better relationship you can create, the better whatever you can create with other people, the better aura you can create with other people, the more business people are going to do for you. Okay. All right. Let's talk about these points. I got about 5 or 6 points I want you to write down. Okay. And these are practical. This is what you can go do tomorrow. Okay. Now, if you own your own business, wonderful. If you don't own your own business, that's fine too. You can help your business so that you can progress in whatever it is that you do. Okay. So these are applicable to people that can progress and make their job better, but these are also applicable to people that are that own their own business, okay? Number one, this is very hard. Number one, never eat lunch alone. Okay? This is where I was wrong for a long time. I thought to myself, I hate eating lunch because I feel like I can get more, quote, work done, okay? But what is business and life about? Business and life is about other what? People, okay? Never eat lunch alone, okay? And here's where I'm going to frustrate some of you. Always be eating with, there's three things. Somebody you want to learn from, okay? Number one, somebody you always want to learn from. Someone, number two, someone who can help you generate income. And number three, a potential or current client. Okay, here's what you want to do. You want to go eat. Ursula wants to go eat with Cherry because they're friends at work. Or Jasmine wants to go eat with Ebony because they know each other and like hanging out. Okay, avoid that. Okay, avoid that as much as possible. Try to fit those the people that you sit and hang out with and eat lunch with, and invest that hour of your day with people that can help you in your job. Here's the thing. You're at work to work. You're at work. Make your life as good as possible. Enjoy what you do. Because here's the thing. If you hate what you do, if you wake up in the morning and say, oh, crap, I got to go to work, you need to go find another freaking job. And if you're leveraged so much financially that you can't afford to go find another job because you hate your work, you need to go get a job at night to make more money so that you can go do what you want to do. You need to wake up in the morning and go do what you like to do. Some of us are business owners. Some of us are not. I got a girl that is a business coach. She hates the fact that she owns her own business. So what's she going to go do? She's going to go work for a guy that can help, that is a business owner that she can work under. She's like a pig in slop. She loves it. That's a bad term, okay? But she wants to go work for somebody else and do what she loves to do because she don't want to deal with owning her own business. So some people are cut out to do it and some people are not. It doesn't make you bad or good. It's just the way it is, okay? When you go into these meetings, okay, look to listen, okay? Listen to what they're saying. Other people come first, okay? What's the number one thing in the world that people want to talk about? Why? Because they know more about themselves than anything else. Okay? If you ask me to talk about something that I know a lot about, I will talk for a freaking hour. Okay? If I ask you about something that you are passionate about, if your kid is a travel softball player and they love travel softball player and they're great, if I ask you about travel softball, you're going to talk about travel softball forever because that's what you know about. Okay? People love to talk about themselves. And when people talk about themselves, they think that you are an amazingly interesting person because the conversation went so well. Because why? They talked about themselves the whole time, and they got to talk the whole time. Okay? Questions. Here's the questions you need to ask. Always ask open-ended questions. When you're at these things, ask questions. You get information out of them. You are there to extract information out of them. They will ask you questions. That's the way the conversation will flow. But always ask open-ended questions like, tell me about... Okay? Or just tell me about anything. Okay? Whatever it is you're doing. Tell me about what happened when... Okay? You fill in the blank. Tell me about how this happened. Okay? Give them things that they can open in and run with. So it'll make it more interesting. Okay? When you're with somebody that you want to learn from, okay, I stole these things right here, I stole these, so these are not mine, but these are questions that I do ask, okay? Question you should ask people, okay? What are you learning right now? Everybody's always learning something. If you're not learning something, that's another lesson we need to talk about, okay? What are you learning right now? Next question is, what are you reading right now? Okay, always be finding something that you're educating yourself on. Last question. We're going to do three. Who do you know that I should know? Okay. Michael's heard this before. Who do you know that I should know? Okay. So, first point, never eat lunch alone. Always be eating with someone that can help you in those ways. Okay. Next thing. Next point. Point number two, get involved in a group. Okay. Get involved in a group. Something that you have to go to. Okay, something that you've got to go to. And I'll say this, it helps if it's something that you have paid for. Okay, I'll give you a great example. Okay, I go to Church of the Highlands, multiple campuses across the state. Chris Hodges, who's the pastor there, he gave a great example of this. He said, his first of the year, he said, I just hired a trainer, and the trainer asked me how I wanted to pay. And he said, I said, well, I'm going to write you a check up front for the whole 3 months. He said, no, you don't have to do that. He said, no, I am. Because if I write you a check by the week or by the month, I may stop at the end of that. But if I write you this check for 3 months, by God, I'm coming. Because I'm going to get my money's worth. Okay, has everybody got it? So if you spend money on something, you are going to get your money's worth out of that. Okay, so it helps that if you invest money, don't think of it as spend, okay? It's not spending, you're investing. There's a major difference. People spend money on cigarettes. Sorry if you're a smoker, okay? People invest money in good food for their health. That's the way you have to look at those things, okay? So, get involved in a group. My group, the one that I pay for and involve, is called BNI. Have you ever heard of that? It's called Business Networking International. It's a group of professionals. Come in, some are business owners, some are not. We come in inside the group. We go every week. Literally, that's where I came from today. You go into the group. What happens when you go into this group, everybody gets up, they give their, not their pitch, but what they're looking for that day from a business perspective. And there's only one profession in that group, in each group. So I'm the caterer. There's only one caterer in that group. There's a real estate guy. There's only one real estate guy in that group. What we do is we get up and we share business with each other. So if Ursula's a real estate agent and I got a friend of mine that's trying to buy a home, I'm going to say, hey, Johnny, I need to introduce you to my friend Ursula. Ursula's amazing. You need to get with her because she can sell your house quicker, whatever the situation may be, okay? This has generated thousands of dollars of income for me because the people in the room have introduced me to people that can help me in my business. But on the flip side, I have done the same thing, okay? Let me give you a great example. A guy named John Chambers. John is in the group. John's a real estate agent. John physically is not a great referral for me simply because he doesn't do a lot of things that would like benefit me, but here's what he does know. He knows a lady named Jessica, and Jessica owns a title company. The title company is in every real estate transaction, there has to be a title written in that transaction. So literally every real estate transaction that happens, the title company is involved. One of those things you got to pay for, it's just the law, okay? So what Jessica does is Jessica goes around to all these real estate agents' offices. She comes in and she says, hey, listen, I'd like to talk to your sales group. Can I have 10 minutes? Absolutely. So why I get you to come in there? Well, typically 99.9% of the time, the title company will buy lunch for the real estate office, 20, 30, 40, 50 people. So what has Jessica done for me? Jessica's brought me thousands of dollars. But let me tell you how this happened. John says, hey, I need to introduce you to Jessica. Great. Email. Jessica, this is Thomas. Thomas is Jessica. Jessica's Thomas is amazing. Thomas, Jessica is amazing. I'll take it from here. Called. No answer. Week later. Called again. No answer. Sent a text and an email. No answer. No reply. This is the beginning of November. Okay? Nothing. Okay? First week of December, finally get a call. Hey, Jessica. Hey, Thomas. I'm so sorry. I haven't gotten with you. Thank you for continuing to reach out. December's a wash. Let's do something in January. So I got a contact in November. Okay? I finally made contact in December. She brushes me off for three more weeks, the last week of December, and she says, let's make us something in January. Great. How can I help you? She said, we have a sales meeting this time. She said, why don't you do food for our sales meeting? Absolutely. So I paid a little money. Did a sales meeting for them. I said, give me 10 minutes. So I got in front of her sales team for 10 minutes. This is the beginning of January. We have literally done between $4,000 and $6,000 with her in the first 6 weeks of the year. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's how that group helped me, because it introduced me to someone that can help us in our business. Okay? Next one, same thing for me. I got introduced to a guy that runs some of the Milos. One of the guys in my group asked, he says, he has a product that is very, very good for people who have a ton of employees. He says, I'm looking for somebody at Milos. Raised my hand, we got them connected. He has made thousands of dollars based off of that. So it's not just about me going in and taking business. It's about me going in and taking business, but more importantly, it's about me going in and giving business. Okay? It's about me giving. The Bible says it's better to give than receive. It really, really is. That sounds so cliche, but the Bible's not cliche. It's really not. You know, because here's the thing. If you help enough people get what they want, you're going to have plenty. Right. You're going to have plenty. Okay? So if you can have a giving thought, but also here's the important thing too. Have a giving thought of not wanting to get anything in return. Okay? Have you ever heard of The Five Love Languages? You ever heard that book? So me and my wife read that. And hers is gifts. It's like number one. And there's only five love languages, and gifts is like number seven for me. Like, and typically what happens is you give. The way you give is the way you receive. And so gifts are not a big deal to me. They're just not. Okay? So what do I have to work hard on? Giving gifts to my wife is stupid. Pardon me. Sorry. As stupid as I think that is sometimes, but here's why it's stupid. Because it doesn't resonate with me. Me giving gifts doesn't resonate with me. But me, here's the thing. Me going to the stopping by Starbucks on the way home and spending $4 on a coffee for her, it lights her up. She loves it. It's $4. $4 for a happy wife? Holy crap. So those types of things are the things that we have to do, okay? All right, so we talked about never eat lunch alone. We talked about getting involved in the group. We talked about giving and giving in that group, okay? The next thing, this is super simple. Next point, handwritten notes, okay? And I want you to put, after you write handwritten notes, I want you to put in big letters, i.e., not a text, i.e., not a freaking email. Okay, and put freaking in big words. Okay, here's why. How many times, at however old you are, do you remember when you were a kid, when your mom would walk in, or dad would walk in, or grandmother would walk in, and say, hey, there's a letter in the mail for you. What would you do? You would light up. So excited because you thought that there was money in there. Right. Let's be honest. Yeah. Okay? But if you had something that had your name written on there, you would be excited. Okay? I am 38 years old. I've got three kids. And when I open a mailbox and there's a handwritten note in there, I'm excited. Call me childish or what? But we feel that way when it's something that's directly to us by another human being. I don't know if that ever leaves. I really, really don't. I don't know if that ever leaves. So when you get something in the mail that someone stopped, because what they do when they've written you a handwritten note, they have stopped and they've given you the most important quality thing on this planet. They've given you their time. And you can't take any of that back. Warren Buffett is probably one of the richest men in the world, on the planet, in the universe. But you know what? He's got the same amount of time as the guy on the side of the interstate that's got a sign holding. They've got the same amount of time. So it's the only quality that you can't make more of. Warren Buffett can make more money, but he can't make more time. So when someone gives you their time, they're giving you a lot, okay? Let me give you a really, really cool thing that I learned. I read this out of a book and I've done it. It's made a huge impact for me. So there's a guy that was, he's a dentist. And dentist is really kind of boring. And so what he would do every time that he would have a first-time client that would come in for a cleaning, he would write a handwritten note. Now he would do the minimum because that's a lot of people. He would write a handwritten note, and in that handwritten note, what he would do is he would put a lottery ticket in there. Okay? It cost him $1. He'd put a lottery ticket in there. And what did that do? The handwritten note does two things. It keeps you in that the mind of that person. That's number one, okay? So when you have contact with someone, write them a handwritten note. It gets you in their mind a week later. The second thing is if you can put something in there that resonates with them, what that will do is it'll help them remember you even more. Great example. I did this in Tennessee. Tennessee's a lottery state. So I used to buy lottery tickets, write notes. I write about 5 to 10 a week, okay, to random people. And so I would get those lottery tickets. And I can't tell you how many times someone walk in a place in Tennessee and just go, "Hey, I got your lottery ticket. I didn't win anything, but it was fun." Or, "Hey, I won $5. Is that how it makes a difference? So you can figure out things to do to get into people's minds, okay? The next thing is spend money on a good business card, okay? I'm going to give everybody one of ours before we leave. The reason I say that is it makes a difference. 95% of the people that I give a business card out to, they say something, okay? Here's mine, okay? It's thick. It's got a green edge. It's rounded corners. It's got my name big on it. I'll pass these out to y'all in a little bit. But it makes a difference because it's a conversation starter, okay? So we've talked about never eating lunch alone. Get involved in a group. Write handwritten notes. Spend money on a good business card, okay? Next thing, learn the selling process. Learn to sell, okay? And I don't say that in a way of a sleazy car salesman that you think of. I say that in the guy that's a pastor of my church who speaks to 55,000 people a week is a salesman, okay? The teacher that's teaching 15 people in a classroom is a salesman. You as a parent are a salesperson. Why? Because you're trying to convince your 3-year-old kid that they got to take a bath tonight. And no, it's not okay to eat M&Ms for dinner. You got to sell that, okay? Does everybody understand that? So you're all constantly in a sales mode no matter what you do or who you're doing it with, okay? Relationships with that. Let me give you a great example. This lady named Beth. My sister-in-law bought a house and used Beth in that process. She then bought another house. She sold one house, bought another house. So Beth made money on both of those things. We then used Beth simply because we knew Beth because of the what? Relationship, right? Then Beth also bought the house of my sister-in-law. $1.1 million of real estate transactions equated at only 2% of $22,000 based off of one relationship. Relationships are important. Relationships are important. Last thing, this is super practical, and I'm gonna go over my time, Michael. I'm sorry. Okay, last thing, okay, this is very, very important. I've got a story to illustrate this. Okay, write this down, it's very, very important. Learn people's names. Okay, the sweetest sound to a person's ear is the sound of their own name. I can't tell you how important it is. Here's how you can get better at that. Some people are gifted. They got it. Okay? They just got it. And some people work their butt off at it. Okay? There are courses and things like that out there that you can do to make this better. I'm pretty good at it, but I'm not great at it, but I'm pretty good at it. But the first thing you can do is drop this saying. I'm a believer that words are power, okay? That you speak things into your life, okay? The Bible says out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what I believe that everyone in the room should never again, ever again say these words. I'm awful at names. Because if you say that, you will be that. I'm awful at remembering names. I just can't do it. Yes, you can. First thing is, you got to quit saying that. It's like the person that says, I'm always sick. Yeah, you are, because you always say that. Okay, so drop that vocabulary from your mouth, okay? Figure out a way, and there's so many things out there, and I could go through that again. I could give an hour talk on that, but learn people's names, because there's something about when you know someone's name, when someone remembers your name. I got a great example of that. When I coached at Tennessee Tech, which is a small 1AA school, I was making about $35,000 a year, and I went to go work a football camp in Texas. Okay, the guy that was the head coach at Texas, his name was Mac Brown. Okay, Mac is an amazing man. I was out there 3 days. I got to spend a grand total over the course of 3 days, about 30 to 35 minutes with Mac at different occasions, okay? So this was in June of a year. The next year in May, so almost a year later, I've got a visor on, sunglasses on, long sleeve shirt. I'm walking down the hall in a totally different state, and I look up and there's Mac. He looks at me and goes, hey Thomas, how you doing? This guy makes $5 million a year. A lot more important than I am. And he remembered my name. And here we are, probably 10 years later, and I'm telling this story to you. Another great story. As a guy named Jack. Jack was a bartender at a bar in Nashville. But at one time before that, Jack was a bartender at a bar in Colorado. There was a guy that was a governor of Arkansas, and he was running for president. He went to this bar in Colorado and sat at the bar and met a guy named Jack. The guy at the bar met the guy named Jack. They shut the bar down. Everybody had left. They shut the bar down. So the guy at the bar asked Jack about his life, was talking to him. The guy at the bar talking to Jack was a guy named Bill Clinton. Okay. This was when Bill Clinton was running for president. 6 years later, Bill Clinton happens to be at the same bar in the same town. He walks into the bar. He goes, hey, is Jack still work here? He sits down at the bar 6 years later and shuts the bar down again. Looks at Jack, says, hey, catch me up on the last 6 years. How's everything going? How do you think that Jack felt? There's power in learning people's names. Okay, last thing, okay? Everyone's always watching. Everyone's always watching. This is a networking thing. This is a life thing. Everyone's always watching. There's this thing out there that some of you have heard about. It's called Facebook. And everyone knows the person on Facebook that always gripes, moans, and complains about everything. Don't be that person. Because the first thing I look at when I hire somebody, as I go to their social, I look at their Instagram, I look at their LinkedIn, I look at their Facebook, and I examine who they're talking to, who they're friends with, how many cuss words are on there, what the pictures are, if they got pictures of their body, and all. If they're always complaining about something, no. I want somebody positive. Everyone's always watching. Okay, everyone is always watching. That is a great platform. It's helped people generate lots of money, help a lot of people, help people get connected, all those types of things. But the thing is, let's use it for positive. And I'm not on a Facebook kick. I'm just telling you, be the light, don't be the dark. Okay, another last example is how people matter and why putting other people first is important. Bill and Aileen were married for 52 years, and Bill loved Aileen. They were a great couple. And every morning for 52 years, Bill would make Aileen's breakfast. And every morning for 52 years, it was the same breakfast. One egg and one piece of toast. And so for 52 years, that's what Bill did for Aileen. It's crazy. Never had to make breakfast in 52 years, isn't it? So he did this, and Aileen, you know how you wake up sometimes and you just wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Well, Aileen woke up on the wrong side of the bed one day, and she had noticed something over the years and just didn't say anything because she loved Bill so much. But one morning she woke up and it was just one of those days. And she noticed that every time that the loaf of bread would come to the heel of the bread. How many of y'all like the heel? Okay. One guy. So every time the bread would come up on the heel of the bread, she would get the heel of the bread. And she got pissed. And just one morning she said, Bill, for 52 years you've made my breakfast. And I'm thankful. But for 52 years, twice every loaf, every time the heel of the bread comes up, I get the heel. We sit down, we eat breakfast, I get the heel. For 52 years. I hate the heel. I gotta know. I'm upset. I'm frustrated that I hadn't said something before. For 52, why have you always given me the heel of the bread? He stops. He looks at her and he goes, because it's my favorite piece. Life is about other people. Sorry. I've told that story 20 times. Life is about other people. The quicker we can realize that, the more success we'll have, but also the more success that other people will have with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you had as much fun as I did in this interview. We would love to hear your input and who you would like for us to interview on the Entrepreneur Dad podcast. Also, we would love it if you would give us a review and a rating. What that does for us is it helps us so much in our business and so much with the Entrepreneur Dad podcast. If you have any suggestions or would just like to ask a question in general, please email us, thomas@theentrepreneurdad.com. That's thomas@theentrepreneurdad.com. Thank you so much. We look forward to serving you.